This morning's reading is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. Zechariah's song. His father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
As you keep that passage open, we shall pray together. Heavenly Father, you filled Zechariah with your Holy Spirit, and he spoke the words of that song. We pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit now, that in hearing that song, we might be led also to know the forgiveness of our sins, to know the joy of Christ in our hearts today. Heavenly Father, please do this now, we pray, for his name's sake. Amen. We stand in need of hope. A number of Christmas cards and letters over the last few days have been coming through the vicarage letterbox. I'm sure that's the same for many of us. And every letter I've read so far mentions the wretched virus. It's been that note, that somber note that has been there for all of us for so much of this year. And the arrival of all those Christmas letters and cards reminds me that it's time to write our Christmas letter as well, so I know what I'll be doing this afternoon. But now, remembrance a few weeks ago reminded us that it's been far from the darkest year in our collective history, but it has been the darkest, I think, for most of us, for many years. We stand in need of hope. Well, jostling with the stories of COVID, the disease, the debt, the doubts, the despair, of course, at the moment, are those of Brexit. Now, whatever you think of whether we should or shouldn't have made the decision that we did collectively, our national future is hardly in a calm and steady state this morning. Will there be a deal? Will those gunboats we've been hearing about this week be needed? And what are our own United Kingdom? How long will it stay united? These are anxious times for us nationally. We stand in need of hope. And then there are our own stories. Think back a year ago. What had you planned for 2020? How did that work out for you? Doubtless some have had wonderful years. Perhaps a year ago you decided to buy some shares in a then little known video conferencing company called Zoom, and you've had the most wonderful, wealthy year. But for most of us, it's been an anxious and unsettling year. Things we've been familiar with throughout our lives suddenly thrown into disarray, not least our pattern of meeting together as God's people in this building and all the activities we commit ourselves to for the Lord's glory in this parish. Nothing has been unaffected in a way that really has been the first time in a generation at least that those things have happened. And then there's the question of the virus itself, the ongoing impacts of that in family life, for schools, the disease itself, for many of us in terms of our employment. Anxiety and unsettlement have become part of our collective life over these last 9 months, even if there are many things for which we give thanks. I've encouraged you throughout this to look for those silver linings, not denying the clouds, but remembering always the faithfulness of God. We all stand in need of hope. Oh, come back with me 2,000 years to a man called Zechariah. Just put yourself in his shoes for a moment. We've heard some of his story in these last few weeks. If you've not been with us, don't worry. We'll put you in that story here this morning. Zechariah was a faithful Jew, a priest in the temple in Jerusalem, but he too stood in need of real hope. His land, God's land, was now but a colony of a cruel colonial power of Rome. There were frequent rebellions. It was politically an unstable land. Those rebellions were often harshly put down. There were many lives that were blighted, not just by Roman rule, but by the poverty of a hard day in which to live. They remembered, the Jews, the old days when God spoke, and yet now there had been centuries without prophecy. The days when God blessed his people, but now there had been centuries, more centuries indeed, than those in which he spoke when they had been under God's judgment. It had been so long, 1,000 years, in fact, since the golden age of King David and his rule over Israel that led the land to expand, and especially under his son Solomon, to its maximum borders, its greatest prestige and wealth and security. And in those 1,000 years since, those blessings had ebbed and flowed, but mainly ebbed away. And God's word was clear why that had happened to Israel. God's covenant, his agreement with his people, was clear. The people had sinned in forsaking him. And in God's universe, sin always leads to judgment. And in the Old Testament story of Israel, that judgment of God typically came from the surrounding nations. They were the enemies of God's people. And so by the time of the Christian era, by the time of naught AD, the people were longing for deliverance from their enemies. And that's the note you hear as Zechariah's song begins. But those who truly understood who God was, those who knew God in the midst of that longing for deliverance of the nation, were longing even more deeply for the salvation from the sin that had caused the Lord to send those enemies in the first place. They stood in need of hope. Hope nationally, but hope that began personally, inwardly, in the human heart and in reconciliation with the God against whom they had rebelled. So in case you've not been with us, let me just put Zechariah's song in context. Mary, at this point in the story, is 3 months pregnant with Jesus, and Elizabeth has just given birth to the one we call John the Baptist. They just called him John. John's father, Zechariah, sings this song of praise. Do you remember we looked at the passage last week? When his tongue was loosed, verse 64, immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak, praising God. Well, this is the content this week of what he did when his tongue was loosed and he began to praise God. He's praising God not simply because he has personally experienced God's mercy. He was disciplined by being struck dumb and mute when he didn't believe the angel's promise at the beginning of the story. Now he knows the Lord's forgiveness. He knows the mercy of God in giving him a son at advanced years, well on in years. Both Zechariah and Elizabeth were described as by Luke earlier in this chapter. So he's full of praise. And yet, it's not just praise for that personal, immediate experience of mercy, or even just the birth of his firstborn son. When my children were born, I had the privilege of being present on each occasion, and indeed conscious through the experience of three of the four. Sorry, Anna, didn't quite make it all the way through yours. But when you hold your child for the first time in your arms, and there'll be some of us who've had that extraordinary experience, assuming any speech is possible, because you're overcome with emotion at that point, well, then your rejoicing is in the baby you're holding in your hands, the goodness of God who has given you this remarkable miracle of a new life. What you don't normally do on that occasion when you've got the baby in your arms for the first time is to sing a song of praise about the baby's cousin. That's not normal. You're praising God, hopefully, and not just thinking it's good luck or something. You're praising God who gives life when you hold that baby. Zechariah, when he sings his song, praises God, yes, for the birth of his own child, but primarily for the anticipated birth of John's cousin, Jesus, the one to whom John will spend his lifetime pointing, the one who comes to fulfill all the promises of God. Out of the 12 verses of the song of Zechariah, the first 8 and the last 2 refer to Jesus, not to John. This isn't just the exuberance of a new dad, although doubtless that's in there as well. This is truly a Holy Spirit-given prophecy for the whole of God's people, indeed for anyone who is looking for hope in the midst of darkness. Anyone who knows what it is to have failed and fallen short of who we long to be, who we know God demands that we be. He looks around at the world and sees so much evidence of brokenness and pain, of rebellion, of the need, the longing for hope, for healing, for restoration, for life, for unity, for light once again to shine in the darkness. Zechariah's song is a song of hope for people who stand in desperate need of it. And he tells us now in Jesus, God has intervened, or technically will intervene in 6 months' time. But John, even before his birth, was leaping with joy at the coming of Jesus. And Zechariah, likewise, as the Holy Spirit has given him this message, he's looking ahead to the one who's his son, will spend his life proclaiming. Look at the language of what the Lord has now done, not in the birth of John, but in the coming birth of Jesus. Verse 68, the Lord has come to redeem his people. Redemption is a word that speaks of costly love. It means rescuing someone at the payment of a great price, the price of your own sacrifice. As Jesus comes, the Lord has come that in love, at great cost, he will bring his people back to himself. He has, verse 69, raised up a horn of salvation in the house of King David. A horn is an Old Testament way of speaking of the bull's horn of strength. The Lord has sent a strong deliverer, a mighty rescuer to come to deliver his people, a one who is yet to be born, the one whom Zechariah's son will point to and say, he must become greater and I must become less. And behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's what John will preach. So he points again and again and always to Jesus. He will be a king whose redeeming love will meet us in our sin and whose horn-like strength will finally deliver us from it. He will be the one who brings the hope that we so need. So this strong and loving king will bring, verse 71, salvation from our enemies and all who hate us. Or verse 74, he will rescue us from those enemies. He will win the victory over those who were sent to judge God's people for their sins. Remember that context, 1,000 years since Solomon first turned away from God and the judgment of God began to come upon the people, now, finally, hope is here. The strong, loving Redeemer has come. And he will begin in the heart, we'll come to that in a moment, but the outflowing of the hope will in the end, and we're still not at the end, but in the end will mean hope extends to the end of a renewed creation, a new heavens and a new earth. And what Zechariah proclaims, what he learns, and what we can learn is that we will be able to trust this God, even from right in the middle of the mess we're in. Zechariah's nation was still under judgment, and in earthly terms, it would never rise again, not as the people of God. And now there was hope coming from another place, and it would be hope of a renewed world. But above all, it would be hope centered in the strong and loving deliverer who his son would proclaim for the rest of his days. Because this one, when he comes, when Jesus comes, he will bring that inner transformation that deals with our root problem, our sin, that magnetic repulsion that's in there by nature in all of us, that proudly wants to say, I did it my way, and my rules are the ones I'm going to live by. Oh no, Zechariah says, there's no hope in that rebellion. That brings only judgment. The one who is to come, he will enable us, verse 74, to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. There will be deliverance from the fear of God's judgment. Indeed, there'll be the deliverance from the fear of anything that could hurt us. How? Well, he will come to enable us to serve him in holiness and righteousness, but as those, verse 77, whose sins are forgiven. So Zechariah himself, a sinful man, and we've seen that already in the story, as he was struck down and then forgiven. Zechariah can come in Jesus to know that all his sins will be forgiven. You and I can come to Jesus to know that all our sins will be forgiven. And as we do that, as we come to Jesus and trust him to do that work in our hearts individually, applying it to us each by his Holy Spirit, well then so we can come today to serve him in holiness, that is, as those who belong to him, as those who are being called out of the darkness to follow him in his marvelous light. We shall be holy as he is holy, not by making a gargantuan moral effort, but because in the new covenant, Jesus clothes us with himself. We have the holiness of Jesus, the Son of God, that we may know we stand unshakably in the presence of God when we trust in him. We serve him in righteousness. That is, we will be inwardly moved, filled with the Holy Spirit as Zechariah was, to begin to live for him. We're not suddenly taken out of the darkness. Zechariah's song doesn't solve COVID or Brexit or any of our personal dilemmas and darknesses immediately. But what it does is it points us to the one who renews us inwardly and who gives us that hope that a day is coming, a renewed world, a new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells and the holy ones of God will be gathered. And because of that hope in Jesus, so we are set free to know the light of Christ in our lives today, to have our hands and our mouths and our feet moved, to begin to make a difference in the world in which God has put us now, to be the light of the world as we follow the light of the world. If you think back a couple of months to when we spent 2 weeks on those. So what does that mean for us as we come into Christmas, a Christmas like none of us have ever known? And it means that Jesus is not defeated by COVID or Brexit or by any of our personal crises. Rather, his salvation we can know within today, in our souls, in our spirits. Not that the body is unimportant, but rather that longing for its eventual redemption will find its fulfillment in and only him. We have our sins forgiven, guiding our feet into the path of peace with God. We have this witness to a strong and loving God who we follow by faith and point others who are in despair to as well. And all our enemies that attack us one day will be defeated by him. There will be no more coronavirus or cancer or insecurity or any anxiety. There will be no fear in the one in whom we find our salvation. Here is hope for the hopeless. Don't despair. In the darkness that feels like it presses in so many different ways, lift your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ, our great and loving King. We too live in a time like Zechariah does that doesn't have much hopeful about it. A time that exposes the foolishness of earthbound hopes and the wickedness of man-centered salvation. And yet he opens his mouth to praise a strong and loving Redeemer. And we can too, because he's real and he's true, and that deliverance is coming. He has sent his Redeemer. He's shown his mercy to people like us. He's shone his light right into our darkness and death. And he gives us peace with himself and in him with each other as well. This is the one we need. Zechariah looked for his appearing. And in this Advent season, we yearn for his coming in glory when he will finish his work and take his people home. And so we rejoice in Jesus' promise, I am coming soon. And we say, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand in such need of hope, ourselves, our nation, our world. And we thank you that into a dark world your Son came as the strong and loving Redeemer. Please, Lord, would you lift our eyes to him, that you might deliver us from the fear of judgment and the fear of all that stands against us as we long for his coming in glory this Advent season. Even so we pray, come, Lord Jesus. Amen.